Amen. You guys turn on these lights right up here, or I'm going to have to do this from memory. Great to see you this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10. In our study through the book of Romans, we are in a magnificent part of the book. Of course, all of Romans is good. But I want to kind of maybe set the context as we move into this chapter and verse this morning. Paul had been dealing with his fellow Jewish brethren. They had, if you will, asked Paul a question, and in this passage, in the first part of chapter 10, he's answering their question and their concern. The church was born at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came on those disciples there that evening, and the church was born and has been flourishing for the last 2,000 plus years as God grows his church. The Jews saw that, and so they would have asked Paul, they would have said, "Brother, what about the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because the church is flourishing and the Gentiles are flooding into the church, and it would have concerned the Jews." And Paul's answer to them was, "The promises of God are secure. The problem's not with God." You know, the problem never is with God, right? The problem's with us. So Paul said to them, "The problem's not with God. God's promises are secure, and what God promised to do, he will always do." He said, "The problem's with you, and the problem is unbelief." In other words, Paul said to his Jewish brethren, God has done exactly what he said he would do through the prophets. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He has come. He's lived a sinless life, but you rejected him. And so he said to his Jewish brethren, the problem is the sin of unbelief, which we talked about extensively last week. He said, the problem is not that God has not revealed himself. The problem is not that God has not made known to us what's required to be saved. He said, the problem is with you and your unbelief. You've rejected it. I would suggest to you today that unbelief or disbelief is alive and well in the 21st century, just as it was in the first century. I would suggest to you that God has revealed himself to us clearly, concisely, particularly in the person of Jesus Christ, his son. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen God. He is the full manifestation of God to man. But today, people reject Jesus on a regular basis. And so it is still the sin of unbelief. Well, what about today? We're going to talk this morning out of Romans 10, beginning of verse 14, about faith. Paul moves from talking about their unbelief to talking about faith and the importance of evangelism. Now, evangelism is a topic we need to consider seriously as a church, for it is our responsibility to take the gospel to a lost world. Now, Paul gave us last week the elements of evangelism, if you will, the elements of salvation. And I just want to review them with you very quickly as we move into verse 14. What is it that a person must believe to be saved? You say, well, there are some things they must believe. Yes, there are. And Paul laid them out for us last week. Let me remind you of them. Number one, he said for a person to be saved, they must believe Jesus. Not just his name, not just that he was here or that he was a prophet or that he was a good man, but they must believe Jesus. What should a person believe about Jesus? What must they believe about Jesus? Well, one, that he's God. You can't be saved unless you are willing to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. You realize Jesus created everything. He's the creator. He is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God expressed in a triune being. And Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, left heaven, came here in his incarnation. That's the second thing you have to believe, that Jesus left heaven and took on a human form to walk on this earth sinlessly and to die for us on the cross. You must believe in the literal death of Christ. Man, you would not believe how many reams and volumes are written that deny the death of Christ. No, Jesus died a literal physical death on the cross to pay for our sin, which is the fourth thing you have to believe. You have to believe that his death was substitutional for you and me. Amen. Our sin, and we all have it, right? You have sin today? Thank the Lord, mine's covered under the blood of Christ, but I have it, okay? My sin means I'm guilty of having broken God's laws, and I deserve death. Jesus hung on a cross and took my death. He paid the eternity of suffering for my sin. He was my substitute. He was yours if you know him as your Savior. The next thing you have to believe about Jesus is they put him in a tomb, and 3 days later, what happened? He conquered death. He came out of the grave, resurrected, and he is alive today. Now listen, if a person embraces those facts, is that enough to be saved? No. Because see, there is a step where I embrace those facts about Jesus, and then I make them my own. In other words, I embrace the fact I can say, well, I believe Jesus is God, and I believe he did all those things for me, and I believe he was here, and he arose the third day. A person may know those things in their head, and they may confess them to be true, but until they come to Jesus and put their faith in him, trust him personally, confess their sin to him, and say, God, I believe you did all that for me, and by faith I ask you to save me, that's salvation. That's salvation. Now, see, there'll be folks who will say today, well, you know, I've been around church all my life. I'm pretty religious. That's not going to help you. No, listen, Paul said we have to move from unbelief to belief, and then that belief has to be in a person in Jesus Christ. In verse 13, the verse right before we're going to pick up this morning, Paul said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. The calling on the name of Jesus is the thing you have to be willing to do. You have to be willing to ask him, not just know about him, but move it from your head to your heart. Make it your own. I would suggest to you, biblically, there's going to be a lot of people who know about Jesus and are going to die and miss heaven. There's going to be a lot of people who know about Jesus and they're going to die and spend an eternity in hell because of their sin. They knew about Jesus, but they didn't put their faith in him. They didn't trust him. They didn't ask for his forgiveness. Why do people remain lost then, Pastor? Why do people know about Jesus and they never get saved? Would you agree with me that people in the United States of America and this hemisphere know about Jesus? Would you agree with that? I know that they know about Jesus because I hear them use his name in vain every day. They're very familiar with who he is, okay? I mean, they know all about him. In fact, critics and enemies of the cross, they study things about Christianity. They know very well who God is. You say, well, why don't they get saved then? Why doesn't everybody put their faith in Jesus if they know all these facts? I'll give you three quick reasons before we look at Paul's description of evangelism. Number one, unbelief. They just won't personally embrace Christ. They won't do it. Man, I have shared the gospel with people. Walk them through the gospel. Bring them to the point. Say, would you like to pray and ask Jesus to save your soul? And they look at me and say, no. And I go, well, maybe you didn't hear me the first time. Let me go through this thing again because you can't possibly be saying that you don't need to be saved. There are people who just won't believe. There are some people who are unwilling. You know why they're unwilling? They like their sin. They say, man, I've had people tell me, preacher, if I get saved, had a guy tell me this, if I get saved, if I do what you're saying and Jesus saves me, then I'll have to give up. And they start naming stuff. And I go, well, yeah, it'll go away, but you're not the one who will have to get rid of it. I said, if you'll come to Christ and you're willing to give it up, God will help remove it from your life. And you know what they'll tell me? I'm not willing to give it up. So they're choosing their sin over being saved. And then there are those folks that I have shared with that are blinded by their sin. You ever met somebody like that? Man, you shared a gospel with them, best sharing you ever did in your life. I mean, man, you were quoting verses. And you're thinking, man, they're going to get saved. And they look at you like they didn't hear nothing you said. Ever had that? Listen, you're missing out if you're not sharing the gospel with people. It is a life experience, man, I'm telling you. But you'll share with somebody and they'll look at you like, man, are you speaking another language? Because you know what that is? That's blinded by their sin. Their heart is hard and they're not understanding anything you say. Those are why people don't get saved. Now, Paul saying that unbelief is such a terrible sin and unwillingness and blindness, he moves from that thought with his Jewish brethren saying, you guys are out in the cold. You're missing the boat because of your unbelief. You need to trust Jesus. He moves then to the importance of evangelism, to the importance of sharing the faith, to the importance of us being persistent. You say, man, I get discouraged when I share the faith and people don't get saved. You can't be any more discouraged than Noah was. Noah preached for 120 years and nobody got saved except his own family, okay? So if you share the gospel your whole Christian life and nobody gets saved, That'd be a travesty, but it's okay because you did what God told you to do. Now, Paul moves in this passage into the importance of evangelism. How important is it for us to share the gospel? What's essential? Now, I'll ask you a leading question. How is the world who does not know Jesus as our Savior, how in the world are they going to know about Christ if we don't tell them? You think they're just going to magically discover it all by themselves? No. They're going to come to know Christ because they either read it in the Bible, they read it for themselves, or somebody shares with them. And I got news for you. A lost person who starts reading the Bible, they're going to be really confused. They're not going to get it. Why? Because it's a book written by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. And when we read it, the Holy Spirit helps us understand. A lost person's not going to have a clue. They're going to read. Man, I've had lost people. I have received emails from people. Pastor, you don't know me, but I saw you had this thing on your website. Ask the pastor. Don't put that on there unless you want to get questions. I can tell you that right now. And they'll say, you don't know me. I live somewhere, and I don't know if they're just making it up, so I don't know who they are or what. But, man, they ask questions, and ask questions about the Bible, and ask questions about things they heard. I had a guy one time. Somebody had left a track in the bathroom at a gym. And I'd been talking to this guy about Jesus for probably weeks. We'd been working out together. And he come out of the bathroom and he said, you know them little paper books? I said, what paper book? He said, you know them little things Christians leave all over the place? I said, oh, tracts. So you all have a reputation. I said, tracts. He goes, I was reading that thing. He said, is that stuff in there true? I said, if it's about Jesus, it's absolutely true. You see, listen, they're not going to know unless we tell them. And that's what Paul says in this passage. Look at verses 14 and 15. As Paul begins to explain about evangelism, he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Paul asked four questions in those two verses. Paul was a master, educated man, and he was really gifted at leading people's thoughts. These four questions naturally flow from one another. An answer, the question of each one leads into the next question. So let's deal with the four questions that he asked with regard to evangelism. The first question is, how can they call on one whom they have not believed? In other words, how can the lost be saved if they don't know about a Jesus in whom they can believe as a real Savior? Now, what he's saying there is simply this. For a lost person to come to Christ, we have to tell them about Jesus. Not about religious stuff, not about church doctrine, not about church practice, not about church history, not about church traditions. We have to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Now, what do we have to talk to them about? We have to talk to them about those things we just identified about Jesus. We have to talk to people about the fact that Jesus Christ is God. Listen, you have to tell people that. You say, man, it's intuitive. No, it's not. No, it is not. The things that you take for granted as a Christian, because you've been around it for however many years you've been saved, I'm telling you, the world doesn't know that stuff. They have no idea. You have to tell them that Jesus is God. And you have to tell them that Jesus left heaven and took on human flesh, the incarnation. You have to tell them, listen, you have to tell them that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin, that he rose again the third day, and that he is alive. Here's a little test for you. I challenge you to do this. Ask people what the meaning of Easter is. Just ask them. Don't pick a fight with them. Just ask them. Hey, you know why we celebrate Easter? Oh, something to do with Jesus. So it's a Christian holiday. That's what you're going to get. You're not going to get that they crucified Jesus, put him in a tomb, and he rose again the third day. Now, you might get some variation of that, but you're not going to get a lot of it. You have to tell them. Me and this guy were going door to door one time. We were knocking on doors. Hey, we're from the church down there. You get a lot of interesting answers when you do that, by the way, too. Well, there was this elderly man, and he was by himself, and I think he was lonely, and he said, well, y'all come in and let's talk. Very good. So we went inside, we sat, we started talking. He had a big old Bible on his coffee table. Man, that thing was huge. Take two of us to pick it up. It was a big old thing. And so I began to share the gospel with him. I said, man, let me talk to you about Jesus. And he goes, well, I read my Bible. I know, but let me talk to you about Jesus, because I know that he might not understand. So I'm walking him through the thing. Hey, man, you know Jesus is God. He goes, yeah, I believe Jesus is God. I said, you know, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He came here and took on flesh. I walked him through the whole thing. I said, man, don't you want to get saved? And he said, no. I said, what's the problem? He goes, well, there's one thing in there that I don't believe. I said, what possibly could that be? He said, I don't believe in the virgin birth. And he was hung up on that. And the guy wouldn't get saved. Now, listen, let me tell you the sad part of that story. This dude's on an oxygen tank. He's got a breathing thing on his nose, and he wasn't in good health. And you know what? All bets are off about then, because I just said to him, I said, man, you don't look like you're in very good health. Now, remember, he just invited me in his house. And I said, you know, it'd be awful shame if you don't trust Jesus and get saved and die and leave this life without Christ. I said, you'll have a whole eternity to regret that decision. But he wouldn't get saved, and we left. Listen, don't presume that they know what you know about Jesus. You have to tell them. Paul said, he asked the question, how can they call on someone they don't believe in? In other words, how can they call on Jesus to save them when they don't know that he's the Savior? In other words, I tell you what you have to do. You have to convince a lost person that there's the need to be saved and that Jesus is the one that can save them. I heard a preacher say one time, you don't know that you're lost until you get ready to go home. In other words, you could walk around the woods all day and be lost all day and not know it till it's time to go. Okay? Listen, lost people are walking around in life and they're lost and they don't know it, and they're not going to find it out until they leave here. So we have to tell them, okay? The second question Paul said, he said, not only how is it they can believe and be saved if they don't know the person to believe in, but he said, how can they believe without hearing? That's a good question. In other words, he said, unless there's a herald, someone to broadcast the truth. Now, you understand, in Paul's day, they didn't have email. In Paul's day, they didn't have Facebook and Twitter and Tweeter and everything else that we got, okay? And I don't have any of that stuff. I don't even have Facebook. So if you're mad at me, you can't blast me on Facebook because I don't have one, all right? They didn't have social media. They didn't have newspaper. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all the... Are we not overloaded with information today? Oh, my goodness gracious. We are just inundated with information. You know how they got information out in Paul's day? The king or the magistrate had a herald go outside and stand up and go, hear ye, or something like that. I don't know what they said. And they would make announcements, and the people would gather around and listen to what they said, and they would be a herald. They would give the news, okay? Do you know what we are as Christians? We're heralds. We're heralds for the king. Amen. The king said, take the message that I'm giving you and go out there and tell people. And Paul simply asked the question, how can they believe if they don't hear? How can they believe if there's no herald, if nobody tells them? One of the things I like to do when I share the gospel with somebody, and the more you do it, you kind of create these own personal things that you do. And one of the things I like to do is if I have the opportunity and they're listening to me and I share the gospel with them, and at the end I like to ask them, I say, hey, tell me truthfully. I said, has anybody ever explained the gospel to you like that? And man, I do it in detail. Man, Jesus is God, and I walk them through the whole thing and their need to get saved. And I ask them, I says, have you ever heard the gospel like that? You know what the answers I get most of the time? Never heard that before. I'd say 90% of the time, never heard that before. Is that not amazing? Isn't it? You say, hey, have you ever heard the gospel explained like that? And this is not complicated, just simple, walk them through it. And they look at me and say, man, I've never heard that before. Nobody's ever told me that. And I'll tell you what's sad. Some of them people are church people. Right. Now you tell me how they sit in church every week and not hear the gospel. That's even sadder, if that's a word, okay? More sad. I don't know, English teacher, something like that is worse, okay? But listen. Paul said, how would they know if we don't tell them? They're going to know a lot of stuff about religion. The world's going to know a lot of stuff about churches. Man, they'll probably be able to tell you what you're supposed to wear to church. But I won't be able to tell you what Jesus will do for you. I won't be able to tell you who Jesus is or why he came or what he did. So we have to tell them. And don't presume that people know. Don't presume that they know. Every person I have the opportunity to share the gospel with, man, I start at the basic level. Do you believe you have sin? That's a question that'll get a conversation going. Do you think you have sin? Well, yeah, preacher, I have sin. What do you think is going to happen when you leave here with that sin? See, you got to start sharing with them. And once you can show them they have a need to be saved, then you can tell them the solution. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you, God loves you so much. Let me tell you what he did for you. God didn't love you so much that he came as a genie in the bottle so you can get anything you want. No, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you and do for you the exact thing you can't do for yourself. Man, you start sharing that with them and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of their heart. And next thing you know, you get to the end, you say, man, wouldn't you like to be saved? And they look at you and say, man, I would. How do I do that? Well, then you get the great joy of sharing with them and helping them pray and helping them get saved. Listen, how are they going to know if somebody doesn't share it with them, if we don't tell them, okay? Listen, it is our job to share. Now, some of you would say right now, you would say, well, Pastor, it's hard sharing the gospel. Not really. Let me tell you what makes it, why the perception is that it's hard. Because we're fearful. Nobody likes to be rejected. Listen to me right here, okay? I'm going to give you some practical stuff here about evangelism. Nobody likes to be rejected. Anybody here like to be rejected? Mm-mm. I could never be a salesman. Because you're buying this thing. I can't try to convince people and stuff. I don't like being rejected. So, you like this car. You're buying this car right here. We don't like to be rejected. So you say, man, I don't like to share the gospel with somebody and then they make fun of me or they don't listen or they're mean to me. Okay, the only thing I can say about that is get over yourself, okay? Because, listen, it ain't about us, right? Because what are we? We are the heralds. If the person that we're sharing with doesn't like the message, listen, they get mad. I've had people get mad at me and use bad language. And you know what I tell them, quite honestly? Look, I'm the messenger. You can be mad at me if you want to, but you really need to take it up with God. And they'll tell me, I don't like what you're saying. Take it up with God. I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what's in there, okay? If you don't like it, you need to take it up with the person who wrote it and ask God. And if you argue with him, it's not going to work out real well. God wrote the thing. We're the heralds. You say, well, Pastor, it's difficult to share the gospel. They're going to ask me something that I don't know. I've had Christians tell me that. Man, if I share the gospel, we're going to get into this discussion, and they're going to ask me something that I don't know. All right, watch this. You ready? I'm going to set you free right here. Listen. If they ask you something that you don't know, you know what you say to them? I don't know. How about that? You say, I don't know. And in the military, they used to teach us to do this. I don't know, sir, but I'll find out. And I'll come back and tell you. You know what you could say to your friend if you're sharing the gospel with them and they start asking you some deep theological stuff that you just don't know? You can say, you know what, I don't know, but I'm going to write that question down and I'm going to talk to my preacher because they send us to school to learn that stuff, right? So I'm going to go talk to my preacher. I'm going to ask my Sunday school teacher. I'm going to ask somebody who can help me, and I'll come back and give you the answer to that. But then, listen, here's what you do. Because what they're going to do when you share the gospel with somebody, they're going to try to get you off track. And they're going to ask you something weird, you know? Why are the clouds puffy or something? You know, they're going to ask you something crazy, right? You know what you do? Listen, don't get off track. You say to them, look, we'll talk about the clouds. I'll get the answer for you because I don't know the answer to why clouds are puffy. But listen, well, I want to talk to you about Jesus because, listen, that is something you do know. If you're saved, you can tell them all about Jesus. Why? Because at the very least, you can tell them what Jesus did for you. Amen. Now, you know that story really well. You can say, man, I don't know about the clouds, but let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I was lost, and you tell them your life story, and man, I heard the gospel, and Jesus convicted me, and I trusted Jesus to save me, and he's changed my life. They can't argue with that because that's your story. That's your testimony. So the very least thing you can do is give them your testimony and tell them what Jesus did in your life. Now, listen, some Christians will say, it's awkward. You know, it's awkward. How can I get into a conversation with Christians? Listen, It's not awkward about Jesus. Jesus is not awkward. You say, well, it's hard to start a conversation with somebody. I'll give you a couple real quick. I do this. Now, you don't just walk up to somebody that you do not know and say, man, you're going to go to hell when you die or not. I mean, don't do that, okay? That's not good evangelism practice, all right? But let me tell you what you could do. You're sitting on the train or the bus, or you're sitting somewhere in a waiting room somewhere, which is hard. What's hard for me is I'm a natural introvert. And so it's really tough for me to just sit down next to a stranger and try to start up a conversation with them, because my nature is I'm going to sit there and mind my own business. You sit there and mind your own business, and we're good. We're happy, right? Some people, though, are chatty catty, right? They're all extrovert, and they want to talk to you. You say, how hard is it to get into a conversation with somebody about Jesus? It really is not that hard. You know what you could say to them? If you've been, you know, you break the ice, you've been talking to them, hey, you know, what's your name? Well, I'm here because my foot hurts or whatever. You're at the doctor, right? You might just introduce Jesus by saying this, hey, can I tell you something really neat? Nobody's going to say no to that. Can I tell you something that's really interesting? They'll say, sure, go ahead. Man, did you know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you so much he sent Jesus to die on a cross for you? You say, well, then the conversation is going to get weird right there. Let me tell you why it's going to get weird for them, okay? Not for you. Because a lost person is going to be, listen, they're going to be offended by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to be offended at the gospel. The world is offended at the gospel. Don't let that stop you from sharing it. The world will be offended at it. Why? Because they're lost. And listen, when I was lost, I didn't like people telling me, you're lost. You got sin. Man, I know I got sin. I don't need you telling me I got sin. Okay? They're going to get offended at it, but don't let that stop you from sharing. There's easy ways to get into conversations about Jesus. Here, I'll give you another one real quick. We got to finish this. You might be sitting there having a conversation with somebody, and you say to them, have you ever given much thought what's going to happen when you die? Nobody thinks about what's going to happen when they die. Nobody. Unless the doctor says you're about to die, then you start thinking about it. But nobody goes around, you know, I didn't wake up this morning going, man, I wonder what it's going to be like on the day I die. Nobody does that. So if you're having a conversation with somebody and you say, hey, have you ever thought about what's going to happen when you die and you have to stand in front of God? That'll get you to talking about Jesus. That'll help you. Listen, there are ways to do it. Here's the bottom line. How are they going to know unless somebody tells them? Listen, evangelism is a purposeful event. You have to be conscious about it. You and I have to be conscious about it. Listen, here I would say this, and we're going to move quickly. What do you think would happen if everybody in this room that's saved right now, in the balcony up there and down here, if every person in this room who knows Jesus and is saved finds one person in the next 7 days? 7 days is a lot now, a whole week. One person that you can tell Jesus about and share the gospel with them. If you are purposeful, if you leave here today and say, man, in 7 days, I'm going to pray that God will put one person in my path, and I'm going to share the gospel with one person in the next 7 days, which is not challenging, one in 7 days. I would suggest that of all the people here that are saved this morning, somebody's going to get saved this week. Just by the sheer numbers that one of you is going to share the gospel with somebody whom God has already been there and prepared their heart, and God's already got them ready, and you're going to say to them about Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus, you can share it with them, and they're going to say, man, that's what I've been needing. Well, you didn't do that. God did that, okay? But that's how important evangelism is. Very quickly. So those are the first two questions. Listen, the third question is, how can they hear without a preacher, okay? Same thing. How can they hear without a preacher? The preacher there isn't just a preacher like me or a Sunday school teacher, but you are the messenger. You have been commissioned to take the gospel. Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Jesus didn't say, if you feel like it, if you think it's a good idea, if it suits your time. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said, go do that. And I got news for you. Listen, Jesus is going to hold us accountable for doing what he said. Amen. We're going to stand in front of him one day at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be accountable for having done what he said or not doing it. So I encourage you to do it. Number four, very quickly. How can they preach if they're not sent? How can they preach if they're not sent? Well, you have been sent. The preacher's not the only one called of God and commissioned to share the gospel. Jesus Christ has sent you. You have been sent. How can they hear if somebody's not sent? They can't. There was a scholar, John Stott, who writes commentaries. He took these questions and reversed the order. Listen to this. I thought it was pretty neat. Listen to this. Jesus sends his heralds. The heralds preach and share the gospel. The people hear. The hearers believe. The believers call on Jesus, and all those who call on Jesus are saved. Isn't that pretty cool? See, listen. God sends his heralds, and we share the gospel. The people hear. Now, hearing isn't just hearing with the ears. It's hearing with the heart to make action, to respond. There will be people who will hear. And those who hear, they believe. Remember? They believe Jesus, who he is. And believing who Jesus is, they then call on him. And all who call on the name of Jesus are what? Saved. Not complicated. Everybody got that? All right. Your mission, should you accept? No, that's Mission Impossible. Your mission is to go out this week and tell somebody about Jesus. You say, man, how do I find somebody? Here, I challenge you to do this. When you go home, pray and say, God, between Monday and Friday, I want you to purposely put somebody in my path to share the gospel with. Then you better tune up on your verse sharing, because God will absolutely do it. He'll put somebody in your path. You say, man, I ain't praying that. No, you need to pray that. Okay? Let me close with this. Look very quickly at verse 16. Now, he says here, we're going to do this. And he says to his Jewish friends, Paul does in the context, look, you missed it. Look, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? You know what Paul's saying there? He said, not everybody's listening. Remember, I just said, now listening isn't just hearing the sound waves with your ears. Man, I had that thing mastered in school. I could hear the teacher talking, but I wasn't listening. Okay? My mind was somewhere else. Lost people will hear what you're saying, your words, but they're not hearing in their heart. Okay? They're not receiving it. All right? And Paul said, Lord, Isaiah said, Lord, we've said what you said for us to say, and they're not hearing us. They're not listening to us. Listen, it is frustrating to share the gospel and people not respond. You say, why should it be frustrating? I'm just a herald. Because you're a born-again child of God and you know what's at stake. And it is frustrating. You share the gospel and you tell people about Jesus and they think, ho-hum, no big deal. No, it's a big deal. It's the eternal destiny of your soul. It's a big deal. So it's frustrating, but listen, don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated. Isaiah said, Isaiah complained, God, they're not listening to us. Paul said to his own brethren, listen, I'm telling you the truth, and you're not listening. Matter of fact, Paul's going to lose his life later over his faith. The Romans are going to chop his head off. The world's not listening, but it's no reason for us not to keep sharing all the time. Now, look at verse 17, we'll close. Paul sums it up. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's a great verse. Faith comes by hearing. What do they hear? The word of God. The word of God, the Bible says, is sharper than a two-edged sword, divides asunder to the heart and soul of man. You want to share the gospel with somebody? You tell them about Jesus Christ. You tell them the gospel. And it wouldn't hurt you to memorize some verses and use them. Whip them out. Quote them to them. You say, lost people don't know what the Bible says. Well, they will if you quote it to them. They will if you tell them. Evangelism is important. But Paul condemned his own Jewish brethren for their unbelief. He said, you want to know why those Gentiles are pouring into the church? Because, man, they're hearing the gospel. And they're believing what we're telling them about Jesus. And they're putting their faith in him and they're being saved. I would encourage you this morning, don't be like those in the crowd of unbelief. You examine your heart this morning. Here's the question, and we're going to pray. Has there been a definitive time in your life when you understood the gospel, you understood who Jesus is and what he did for you, dying on that cross, paying for your sin and mine, in a grave, raised a third day, sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for all who call on his name? Has there been a time when you've understood that? Maybe right now is the first time you've ever understood that. Then what do you do now? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the person in him. Ask him to save you. You say, well, just knowing that don't save me? Mm-mm, nope. No, it doesn't. You have to willingly say to God, I want you, I don't want my sin. I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. Are you willing to do that this morning? You do it as we pray. Let's pray. Father, there may be somebody here this morning in the balcony down here on the floor, and maybe today was the first day they ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel. God, if that be so, right now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to convict their heart, and in the quietness and the privacy of that seat they're sitting in right now, Lord, with their head bowed, they could just cry out to you and say, oh God, I understand that you came here and died on the cross for me and that my sin separates me from you. And God, I believe everything that the Bible says about your son, Jesus Christ. And I believe right now that you'll forgive my sin if I ask you. So Lord, I ask you, God, forgive my sin, save my soul. I want you to be my Lord. God, all who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. And I pray all across this room today, if there's somebody here who is without Christ, that right now they're praying and asking you to save their soul. Father, maybe there's a Christian here today, and they've been saved a long time. But God, it's been a long time since they told somebody about Jesus. It's been a long time since they prayed and asked for an opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, if everybody in this building today who's saved would just share with one person this week, Lord, somebody would get saved. And I pray that would be our heart's desire. God, if there's somebody here today who needs to be baptized, they've been saved, but they never followed through with believer's baptism. Lord, that's the first thing you told us to do when we get saved. Get in the baptism pool and testify to the world that I'm a child of God. I pray they would come. Lord, maybe there's a family today and have been attending this church or thinking of coming. Lord, if you want them to be a part of this church, draw them in this invitation. They would come and say, we want to serve here and be a part of this local body of believers. God, work in this invitation as honors your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. I'll be here if I can help you.